created live on Fireside.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Athletic Definition. My name is Coach Ray Z. Today, we're welcoming back Transformation Coach Rich. Do you like Rich or Richard? What do you prefer?
Both, depending on who you are.
All right, because, you know, on your Instagram, which if anyone wants to check it out, they could click on the link, you have Rich. And then on this profile, you have Richard.
Well, I guess, I mean, Richard's my official name, but Rich is a good short one, and most of my good friends call me Rich, so I guess maybe that's the one I like the best.
All right. Well, to me, the holidays are all about family and friends, so I'm going to go ahead and call you Rich because you are a returning guest and first time going back. I think it's one of the more popular episodes as far as my podcast. I think everybody was intrigued, and one of your goals is to be. And yeah. I think because of that title, I think a lot of people check it out because who doesn't want to live 200? Well, I think it all depends on quality of life. Me personally, if I'm just going to be immobile and living like the last 40 years, just bedridden, I don't think I'd want to do that, you know, but if I'm mobile and can move around, hell yeah.
Well, and that's the whole point, right? Life is about being mobile and being able to move around. If you ever lose that, yeah, that's when your death is coming, and you're going to see it right in your eyes as you come up to it. But the longer you stay active, the longer you stay mobile, the longer you continue to work on your strength, the slower and slower you will lose it. So, right, that's my message. Stay moving like a kid, and be able to squat, not regardless of how much weight. Like just have the actual function of being able to squat when you're 85, 90 years old. Trust me, there's a lot more things that you use that movement for than you realize in your life.
So it's been about a year and a half since you've been on the show. And as far as mobility and being able to live that long, you're still pursuing the same goal? Or have you, you know how some people will let up on a goal, or maybe they just stop doing it, stop pursuing it. Are you still pursuing living to 150?
Well, I mean, yes, I am. But this year has been a very challenging year for me myself. I actually broke my foot year and a half ago. I broke the same toe twice, and it was not going to heal. So I had to get surgery. So in February, I had surgery, and I was in a cast for 4 months. And I spent the summer learning to rewalk and just kind of get back to normal. Be able to run again, be able to skate again, participate in sports. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I took my fitness took a hit overall because, you know, when you're on the couch in pain in a cast, it's kind of hard to lift weights. So I had to dial it back, but it never changed my goals, right? The moment that I was able to, I started going to rehab. I started doing the little exercises and getting myself back to the point where I'm walking. I mean, if I didn't tell you that today, you'd never be able to see me walk and say that I had surgery. So
how did you break it?
Freaking on the sidewalk, concrete sidewalk.
It wasn't an activity, playing hockey or everything else that you do, dropping a weight on it.
No, I put my body in plenty of physical risk, playing sports. And no, I was walking my dog and I was looking at a house, and I walk at a fast pace, and the sidewalk block had shifted up. So it was like 2 inches of concrete, and I'm looking at the house, and I just basically full stride kicked the sidewalk and snap.
It broke.
And then the second time was, the city water connections that stick out of the ground, the solid steel where they put the key in to turn the water on and off to the whole block.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dog pulled me in one morning right into one of those while I was wearing flip-flops. Same toe, just destroyed it. But after going through surgery, the surgeon told me, he's like, the best thing I could have ever done was get surgery, because that chunk of bone that was floating around in my toe was doing damage. It was messing up my ligaments. It was destroying everything in there, every step that I took. So it sucks to go through surgery and go through that trauma and have a little setback. But in the long run, it's going to add to my health and longevity, because my foot needed to get fixed.
How far in between breaking it did you re-break it again?
6 months.
Okay. And the first time, was it even healed in 6 months or not yet?
I mean, I broke my toe years and years and years ago when I was like 19 years old. And the doctor said, there's like, well, there's nothing we can do. So just, you know, like it's a toe. So you have to just kind of let it heal on its own. I did. And back then it did heal on its own. So I took the same approach. But I think what had happened is a little bone spur from that break kind of created inside my big toe joint. And so every time I tried, I felt good when I was cycling. I felt good when I was skating. But anytime I tried to run and put my foot in flexion there, that bone would just jab at me. So even the second time when it broke, my I wasn't healed. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise, really, the second break, because then that just, it confirmed the surgery 100%. I had to do it.
And how long ago was the surgery that you had it?
February of this year.
And what is the recovery period on that?
I mean, I'd say right now I'm like 85% recovered. So 100% recovery 1 year. Like by the time my anniversary comes around for the surgery, I feel like I'll be 100%.
Do they assign any sort of physical therapy after that type of surgery?
That's up to me. They gave me like a prescription for physiotherapy, but it was up to me to go and find my physio and work with him. And he did, you know, he gave me, you know, like a whole workout regime, especially to get started. And then gradually we got into like little small jumps and running and stuff. And so that's where I'm at now. I've progressed to the point where it's time to start getting back to regular activity. And while there's still a little bit of pain, it's because I haven't done all those things for a while. So I need to work through that and just get all my performance back. And I am playing hockey already. I was cycling all summer. Cycling is great because there was no impact on the foot. So I could cycle no problem. Next up is getting back to running. So I wanted to get back to running those obstacle course races. That's kind of what derailed me is my broken toe. I was going to start doing two or three of those a year. And then I had to I got to deal with my foot now. So once I can run, it's back to the obstacle course races.
Have they given you medical clearance then to start being more active and playing hockey?
Yeah. From my physio. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. I've never broken a toe. Right now I'm running or moving around without a toenail. When I was young, I was a dumbass and I dropped a giant rock up in the mountains playing around, hiking with my friends, going off road, and I broke it and I had to go to the doctor and 3 shots, one in the front, one in the side, one on the other side, and they ripped it out or they finished ripping it because it was bleeding. So I needed to fix it. Ever since then, it really has never been the same. But it's a toenail and I don't like do anything special to them or buff them, or it's a toenail. And then through running, you get a lot of nails long distance, like marathons. You can get black toenails or lose them easily. They fall off. Luckily mine don't fall off from running. I've had quite a few bruised toenails. That was when I first started. To me, it's better to trim your toenails like a week before if you're going to run a marathon, because then sometimes when you cut them, there's still kind of the flesh on the toes could be a little too much when you're first trying to do a marathon or something like that. So it's better to do it a week earlier, kind of gets adjusted, and then it's less chance to, especially if you're wearing your normal size shoe, your feet are going to swell up. So it's going to start hitting the toe part, you know? So I get a half size bigger on the actual shoe. But with that, playing basketball, I don't know how many years ago I cracked it. I cracked the toenail again and it came off. And now I would say sometime this year, again, I was playing basketball and I felt it cracked. So the other time I went to the doctor too, but this time I removed my own toenail and the doctor just looked at it and he's like, yeah, you're good. And that was it. And now again, it happened again, playing basketball. And I removed it again myself this time. And so right now it's growing back, but it's just kind of something that I don't think it's going to be 100%, but I could definitely live with and have gotten adjusted to it. It's just, it's my big toenail on the left. It's going to break sometimes when I do, I guess, a lot of pressure. I don't think it's ever going to be the same.
Yeah, but it's not stopping you or holding you back from doing the things that you want to do.
Right. That day I ripped out the toenail, I went running the same day.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So, I mean, those we all kind of have those little things that we're going to have to deal with. Sometimes you hurt your elbow and it bugs you for 8 or 9 years, but it shouldn't stop you from still trying and going out and pursuing the things that you want to do.
Right. And then, so right after that, I'm like, oh, it's cracked, but I'm going to keep playing basketball. I just kind of left it there. I'm like, I'm going to see what happens. I ended up having to pull it, but in the meantime, with that, then I get bit by a dog 4th of July, and then I got an infection, and then that just kind of derailed me too. Like how you're saying it, like for me, as far as what I'm used to competing and being physically active, it was an inactive year. And I was already in my mind upset because I feel like the whole pandemic took a lot of my active, like competing as well, you know,
took it away from me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was already like, oh, and now I'm just thinking about 2023. You know, I'm into goals. I know a lot of people aren't into goals, but I believe you should have them before the new year. You know, it's not just on the new year. Mm-hmm. I do a mid check-in to see, oh, halfway through the year, have I accomplished what I've set out to do? Kind of take it like a business, how they do it every 3 months. You check in, you know, with your own BS, or have you actually done it or exceeded?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great, you should hold yourself accountable, because at the end of the day, you know, behind closed doors, nobody is going to hold any of us accountable except for ourselves.
Right, right. And I know, you know, if anyone checks out your bio, transformation coach, helping with a mindset mentality, and it has to do with food and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And so what are you doing with your nutrition that to help just the average person? Because nutrition is a big part, actually more than the physical exercise. It's the majority. So what are you doing with your nutrition, and what do you teach about your nutrition program?
Well, see, I try to challenge people to reframe their thinking, right? It's not just food and nutrition, right? Your food, the food that you consume is your fuel. It's the fuel for your body. Your body is biomechanical. You've got all sorts of amazing systems in place, and it needs certain fuel to run. So instead of thinking, you know, about weight loss and you know, which is a goal with no end in sight, because what, are you going to lose weight for the rest of your life? Like, that's not, to me, that's not the goal. It's the wrong frame of thinking, right? Think about fueling your body for performance, right? Learn the healthy habits and the healthy way to fuel your body properly, right? So that you don't need to be going on yo-yo diets up and down and always looking for these quick fixes, right? Being shredded is really kind of, it's just an image. It's not what you need to actually be like a high-performing human, right? As a byproduct, you're going to have a good body from having as the byproduct of healthy habits, which is, you know, eating right and combining that with exercise. So instead of focusing on weight loss and numbers and all that kind of, you know, to me, it was just fluff and garbage. Learn the fundamentals. Make sure you're fueling your body with fats, carbs, and protein, right? Anything that tells you to cut one of those out is going to just starve you. You need all three of them. They all serve a vital function within the body. So you just got to make sure that you're eating enough of each to line up with your goals. And the thing is too, everything is custom, right? We're all individuals. We are all different sizes. You can't just say, give somebody a cookie cutter, go eat this, and you're going to get these results. It's not how it works, right? You've got to take the individual into account, but the fundamentals remain, right? You're always going to need those nutrients. So learn to love them and learn how to fuel your body properly.
And I forgot to tell you, Merry Fitness in the beginning of the show. We're in the holiday season. You know, you got your tree, I got my tree.
Yeah.
It's especially even harder, more difficult, I would say, on average, just in generalizing the whole. You're in Canada, right? So I'm not sure if Christmas is huge over there or not. I know some parts are, you know, they speak French. So over here, it's harder for people to stay, I would say, with their nutrition, especially me. I'm Mexican-American, so it's tamales season. I don't know if how much Mexican food there is over there, but we definitely like to celebrate with food. It's a big part of our culture, and it's delicious. Not all of it is maybe the healthiest as far as the ingredients, but it's definitely like part of the whole celebration.
Well, absolutely. And you need to partake in the celebration. That's the thing about Christmas, right? Enjoy the food. And quite honestly, who cares if you overeat a little bit? Like if you overeat a little bit on the holidays because you're celebrating with your friends and family 1 week out of the year, and that derails everything that you've done all year, then you've got bigger problems. You know, enjoy the food, enjoy the drink, enjoy the time with your family. That's a very important part of life too, right? We need those connections. And yeah, absolutely. I love food, right? You put a big, you know, big spread in front of me, I'm going to eat everything. I love it all, right? So that's the time of year to indulge, you know? It's the problem comes when you're indulging every single week of your life. That's the difference, right? But celebrate in the holiday seasons. That's what I'll, same with 4th of July barbecue, right? That weekend, it's going to be nothing but burgers and beers, right? Like enjoy the weekend and then get back to life, right? But you can't be so rigid that your life is completely controlled by, you know, the fear of eating something wrong on one day.
I'm really torn between that right now. I believe I like in general for the general people, I would say yes, just because at least over here, the numbers as far as obesity and unhealth and diabetes and you know, just heart issues, and a lot of it can just be avoided by exercise. I think it's pretty bad, but I'm almost done with the new David Goggins book. I already, the first one was just awesome. And then I'm almost done and three chapters left. And, you know, he is so disciplined and you could say rigid, but he is like, just so like, it doesn't matter what happens. I have to do it because it comes down to me and who I am as a person. And I take pride in my work, you know? And then the author tells him, David, you're the only person I know who takes out his own trash at a 5-star hotel. You know, he's like, it needed to be done. And that's just part of like who I am. And it's being rigid. And part of me just, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how I want to be, you know, just like that discipline. But I also believe in enjoying time with your family because that and friends, and that is so important, especially because you got the nutrition part during the holidays, which is difficult enough for people. But then since me, I've worked at four or five different gyms, like three major ones. The other ones were like MMA. And during the holiday season, it gets like ghost town in there. It's pretty dead. So now you're indulging more and you're getting and I'm just talking in generalizing, you're getting less activity, you know? Mm-hmm. So then that's where the problem, at least it seems, that people are just taking off. Well, after that, it's because we're just coming off Thanksgiving over here. So, oh, okay, you indulge and let the belt loose a little bit. And then, oh, here, now it's the holidays and you're going to just let it rip one more notch for another month. And then, oh, it's New Year's and then Super Bowl. And well, I don't know if that's big over there, but, you know, whatever, Valentine's Day, then another holiday, then it's summertime, then it's 4th of July, then another holiday and summer. Oh, it's summertime. Then it turns into years of just inactivity. It seems like to me that's what has happened. And if people were more rigid, maybe that would be avoided. I don't know what we need to do. I think just talking about it, that's why I try and talk about it. I bring on everything from fitness coaches to pro athletes, just because we just need to talk more about being physically active and going through challenges. Like I didn't know that about your, you know, your toe. And that would definitely depress me, being going from such an active person such as I am to even I was depressed when that happened, even though I preach against it. You know, I wasn't living my own sermon. Did you get depressed while you were injured? And
110%, man. That's the thing. It's like, not that I'm looking forward to being depressed, but you have to, like, it's unfortunate. It's part of life. So the emotion came. Yeah, I absolutely felt depressed and grinding, man. I had to wake up every morning and spend 10 minutes flexing my toe and trying to pick up a freaking towel. I felt useless. I couldn't walk right. I couldn't walk for more than 30 minutes at the first, right? I couldn't even stand up when I first took the cast off. I struggled to even just support my own body weight. So yeah, and I'm an extremely active guy, and that's so, yeah, it killed me. But it's just, you feel the emotions of life, right? Sometimes you're going to feel anger. Sometimes you're going to feel intense joy. Sometimes you're going to feel depressed. You know, experience the feeling for what it is and use it as life experience, but don't dwell on anything. Don't dwell on the highs too high, and don't get too low on the lows, right? And, you know, a guy like David Goggins, you know, the way he is and how rigid he is, that allows him to be exceptional compared to the average person, right? And that's the key, right? If you're going to be a professional athlete or somebody who's absolutely exceptional, then yes, you know, being disciplined and being a little more rigid matters. But, you know, for the majority of people, we're not professional athletes. You don't need to be a professional athlete to be healthy and active. And you can, you know, you don't have to be quite as rigid. You can cut yourself a little more slack. But if you ever want to be exceptional, then you're right. You've got to follow a guy like David Goggins, because that success leaves clues. I can't even imagine. What is he, the races he runs, like 200-mile races? Like, things ridiculous. He's like running for 72 hours straight. He's running until his legs fall off. Like, you know how hard that would be to do? Like,
and I think to be like exceptional and great, greatest of all time, you pretty much have to be like that in any sport. I know Tom Brady, you could say that cost him his marriage. It's happened to a few other NFL quarterbacks and players, and because they don't want to step away. Andrew Luck, who had to retire early, mm-hmm. in part, he did it, he said, because of his – a recent article came out a few days ago that he did it because his relationship, it was going to fall apart, you know, because yeah, the dedication, the drive, and the time, and the commitment, because you have to be so rigid, almost like obsessed to be that great, not average. Greatest of all time, like good, great, phenomenal. It's like legendary.
Yeah.
That it's like a whole different level where you're just like, you live it, you breathe it. That's all you talk about. You want to talk to me about something else? Nope, I got to do this. It's like an obsession almost.
For sure. Well, and my daughter actually, I don't think I've actually told anybody this either, but she's 12 and she joined the football this year, tackle football. And her peewee team, they went on to win the city and provincial championship. And these, like the lessons that you're talking about right there, like that's exactly what they learned and grew to become exceptional at their age, to become champions. They grew in that moment and did, and they were very rigid. Like, you know, my daughter going, her commitment to the football team and kind of end up becoming my commitment to the football team, because I had to make sure she's at practice, you know, practicing 4 days a week. I had to make sure she's at games and not just at the games, but on time for the games and with all, you know, all her equipment. So, you know, of course I want to watch the game, but you know, it's kind of like, I was just like an extended part of the team too. Right. And, but because they practiced so hard and were so rigid and practiced the fundamentals, they created magic and became the champions. Right.
So. That's very cool. Congratulations to them. Is that something that helped you get over the depression? Because I wanted to ask you first if you were depressed. You said definitely, yeah. But yeah. What helped you keep going, keep wanting to work out after the recovery? Some people would just want to recover just to pretty much hang it up.
Sure, I can understand that. But I'm stubborn, man. And like I said, it all relates back to the big goal of 150. Right. And I don't care what it's going to take. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to stop trying to build my engine and my performance. The thing is that's the one thing, you know, your ability to run, your ability to perform, to catch, to jump, you know, that increases your heart muscles, your lung muscles, your ability to ride bike, whatever it is. Right. I never, ever, ever want to lose that ability. And that ability can only be gained one way, and that's by earning it, right? Like, you don't just pick up a basketball and boom, first shot, oh, wow, this is easy, and you're just good at basketball. You have to work and grind and get good at it. You can't just wake up one day, roll off the couch, and be like, yeah, I'm going to go run a marathon. No, you have to earn the ability to run a marathon. You have to put work in order to get there. Hockey, football, bat, like, it doesn't matter what sport it is that you're choosing. You've got to put work in to get there. And the only way to have that ability is to earn it. And it's just like strength. You know, when I see a 50, 60-year-old man who's still ripped and muscular, I'm inspired. I'm not intimidated. I'm like, hell yeah, right? Because I know that that man earned it. And that tells me, I'm like, I want to be one of those guys that has been earning it my whole life. And then you'll see, that's how I'll get to 150. Never stop earning it.
Yeah, I love those old guys, and I love to talk to them. Every time I see, like I said, I worked at four different gyms. The old guy who's like 70 something, he was still squatting. I'd go and talk to him because they're a blueprint. They're basically a blueprint if you want to be smart about it and be like, how are you? What did you do? It may not work for you. Big Bruce Lee fan, so take what is useful, disregard what isn't. But the more older people like that with the wisdom that are still doing it, you can talk to, the more knowledge you're gonna acquire. I know some of the older guests that I've had on here, I'm like, they're just like a sponge of knowledge because they just have all this experience and they're still active. I think Steve Maxwell, 70 years old now. He was on my show, and there's a couple other ones that are older, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And he was like basically one of the first black belts in the United States. He's the first one to open up a jiu-jitsu school, and he was like a white belt at the time, but he was training with all the Gracies. Also, I think the first coach to open up a kettlebell school, because he was one of the first kettlebell instructors in the United States as well. Like, wow. Wealth of knowledge. So those guys are blueprints, and people should go say hello to them at the gym. Hey, sir, how are you doing? How do you do that? How often do you work out like that? Because anything they could tell you, it's like experience, especially through injury. You know that they went through some sort of injuries by that point. Very few people go through their life without getting some sort of injury, especially if you're going to be active. It's just part of it. But I'd rather get injured being active than just because my body's falling apart from inactivity.
Yes, 100%. And the difference is when you get injured from activity, your body recovers because it's used to you putting it through that activity, and you have muscles and tendons and everything that's working right that will help you heal it. When you break because you're just broken and you've done nothing for the last 30 or 40 years, you're just broken. It doesn't heal. Right. My grandmother's a great example. Like, I, you know, she was 80 pounds, but when she died, but she hadn't done a single bit of exercise for 50 or 60 years of her life, and just watched her slowly get small and brittle. And it got to the point where I couldn't even hug her with normal strength. Like, I could feel how brittle she was. Like, and it's just like, I will never be like that. I don't care if I'm 110 years old. When you hug me, you're going to feel like, oh, wow, this old guy's still solid. I'm not going to be a weak old frail guy.
Yeah, my aunt passed away a couple of years ago, I think 96. And she was always active going to the gym, and she broke her hip. And typically, I think I could be off. It's been a long time since I looked at this stat, but I think typically most people will pass away, die about a year or a year and a half after hip replacement surgery. And ooh, she lived like another, I don't know how many, like long time after that. Yeah. Like, she definitely shattered that record. Cause I was shocked when I heard that. I'm gonna have to double check on that, but yeah, usually your lifespan after you fall, usually when you're older, if you don't have any sort of balance, you break your hip. And then they say after that, maybe about a year, year and a half. On average. Hope I'm not giving any wrong information here. I'm going to definitely double check that.
But the thing is, what you're right. And the thing is the people who don't recover, you know, and they have the short lifespan afterwards are the people who weren't in good shape to begin with. And the reason that your aunt broke down the whole, you know, broke down the barriers and lived longer is because she was active and healthy prior to the injury. So her body accepted it more and she had more life in her because of the action that she chose to take in her life.
Yeah. I also have a cousin who's a nurse and, you know, she talks about who's in the actual recovery, the recovery rooms after surgery. It's the people who are active because the people who are inactive usually a lot of times will die in the operating table because their body isn't strong enough to make it through with the shock that it's being put through, you know, being opened up basically. And then I personally know like a few, like five people just that have been in horrific accidents, not their fault, car accidents, motorcycle accidents. And the doctor says, if it wasn't for you working out so much and being in such good shape, you would not be here. Because some of them were bedridden for months. Some of them weren't even supposed to walk or talk. Just comas for a week or longer. Some, you know, say goodbye to your family and they're active to this day, you know? So I definitely feel that just working out in general has way more benefits than just living the inactive lifestyle. And it's, man, so many just knowledge bombs that Goggin drops in that, like you should take pride in yourself and in your body. It's like,
yeah.
Also, I've never done the military, but the military, just thinking about some of the places where you go and you don't have this freedom, all this freedom to celebrate whatever belief, whether it's other religions or we have all this freedom and we're just going to wake up and not take our life, you know, seriously or for the blessing. We're just going to take it for granted and not, to me, your body, the expression of physical activity, what it can do, it's magnificent. And whatever discipline, art, physical activity you pursue, whatever sport, you know, when the Olympics come around, all of a sudden we're all dive experts and gymnastic experts, but it's just because it's such a beautiful expression of the human body and what it's capable. Even me, I'm not into soccer, but I'm keeping up. I haven't watched the game, but I'm keeping up because I know that it's, as far as what the athletes are doing, it's remarkable and it's
100%. Yeah.
That's what it's all about, basically, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I'm always enamored with athletes, right? They're the ones that are, they're making the video games we play. They're doing it for in real life, in real time, right? It's absolutely incredible. Even anything in the Olympics, winter, summer, you know, these are all like high level athletes, right? Sprinting. That's another great one, man. I love watching the sprinters over and over again. And then you can see them in slow mo. It's just, they're incredible athletes. Right. Incredible sport. You know, and you know, anything, right? Like you do a whole bunch of marathons, man. I don't even know how you do so many back to back to back. Like it's incredible. It's amazing. Humans are capable of some pretty incredible things when you put your mind to it. Right. And David Goggins, I think, would agree with that.
Oh yeah. 100%. And they are. And when you turn into that or try and turn yourself into a physical person, when you have those layoffs, it does get difficult because like you were saying, marathon. And this year I only did one, which for me, that's very, very few. That's what, yeah. I usually do. Like I've been on a tear, you know, for the last, since I would say 2017, 2016, well, I think 2018, I did 13 in 1 year. So I was just starting to crank them out. I did three in 3 days. I did a back-to-back marathons a few times. So I was like, really? And then the whole pandemic for me, it's been life-changing. I don't know for other people. I know some people are still struggling with it and some other people are just depending on, you know, your situation, they already had remote jobs or jobs. It didn't really affect them too much. I don't know how, because it was worldwide, but some people still tell me, no, to me, it was like no big deal.
I thought it was a big deal. I've been through a lot through COVID, man, like a lot, not just, I'm not talking just about sickness, just, you know, other things that have happened because of it, you know?
Oh, and it's still happening because of it. To me, it's been difficult just as far as, like I said, just feeling like I lost time. And so 2023, I definitely have some big aspirations of wanting to do more physical competitions because, you know, besides marathons, they haven't even done the Nike 3-on-3 tournament basketball. It's been since the pandemic. So I'm looking forward to them bringing it back and being able to play. 1 year I got to play with my nephew and my son. So that was like very cool to be able to play basketball with my son and my nephew in a tournament.
That's pretty cool.
And that's, to me, that's a memory. My son doesn't want to do it again. You know, a lot of the guys were kind of being really physical for no one getting paid, you know? So I'm like, I could see it, you know, it's like, it's not worth it, but it was fun. A couple guys and some overall people were good. I still want to participate, and I was doing jiu-jitsu tournaments as well. And now all I just did was one marathon, which I'm happy and blessed that I was able to do LA Marathon, because I kept my streak this year to 16 consecutive. So this coming March will be 17 doing that one. That's my longest streak. I gave up everything else during the pandemic, all the other, like, oh, I've done this one for so many years. That and except in Sedona. Sedona, Arizona. Yeah. I went there. I loved it. It's a beautiful place. And I want to go back there every year because I just recharge there. It's such a, the hiking there is just the best.
Nice. I've heard that's a magical place, like energetically.
That as well. If you, some people might say that's woo-woo, but there's something there. There's some energy there where you're just, I would say just feeling like happy, energetic, just, right. and everyone will feel it different. And it's what, because they've done all kinds of research there trying to find what type of energy, if it's magnetic, but it's like subtle energy. And some people are more sensitive to it than others. And more women tend to feel something there. And some people will just start crying automatically and it'll be like uncontrollably, because when I've gone hiking there and I've gone since I heard of that place for years, like you were talking about the energies. And then when I finally went, I ran the marathon the last year they had it. After that, they discontinued it. They only have a half marathon now, half marathon, 5K, 10K, and a kids run. So it's still, it's in February, like Super Bowl, the first weekend of February. It's always the first weekend of February. If you like to run or want to run it, now the altitude is a little bit high and it could be cold if you're not used to cold. I just assume Canada's cold.
I'm from Canada. It's like minus 20 right now.
Right. Okay. Oh, I'm in a horrible weather in California. I think right now we're at probably like 65. So it's pretty cold. You know, I'm definitely going to have to cover up to go running.
That's hilarious. I know. I've been to California quite a bit of my life, and I always laugh. It's hilarious. I've been there in like November, December, and there's people in hoodies, and here I'm walking around in a t-shirt and shorts. I'm like, this is gorgeous weather. I was getting a kick out of that.
So what do you do for yourself? You know, we talked about how a lot of the gyms become more empty, the food, and then you're talking about weather over there. It's even more difficult. I know I have listeners from everywhere, even different parts of the world. What do you do to keep training in the cold? Are most of your workouts indoor, or do you go out still and, you know, kind of like Rocky did in part four?
Huh. Yeah, I definitely scale back my outdoor activity, mainly because there's no grip, like trying to run on ice and snow. It's not fun at all because you can't really run properly. You have to run with a very choppy step, and I just don't enjoy it. I get plenty of exercise in the wintertime because I play indoor hockey twice a week, including today. And then when it's cold enough, we have about a 3-month outdoor hockey season. So even if it's minus 20 out, I'll just go out to the outdoor rink, and you get moving around and you don't even feel the cold. You just kind of work out in the cold. So it becomes a lot of skating. But it's so good for the body. It's so great. I always feel so good at the end of the day after a nice hard skate. Definitely more satisfying when you win, but still just going out and emptying the tank feels so amazing the next day. And I just right now, honestly, I'm renovating a house and moving, and I've got a bunch of storage going on. So I do have like my own at home squat rack and a bunch of equipment. But what I've done just recently is just working within my means. So I brought what I could over to my new house while I renovate, and I just do push-ups. I've got a back extension machine. I've got a sissy squat rack, and I've got a slant board. And I just do a whole bunch of body weight exercises. And I've got a light curl bar to just kind of – right now I'm just doing what I can, right? Because to me, doing something is better than doing nothing and just using that as an excuse. Once I get the rentals done, I intend to move all my equipment and have a gym set up in my basement.
Okay. And do you play full contact hockey?
Oh, yeah.
So everyone's just like straight up NFL hits, basically? Yeah,
but it's not as easy as you think to hit a guy on ice, right? There's a lot of guys that move real, real fast, and you can't line them up. So a lot of the body checks are more like – you kind of converge at the boards and then you just rub the guy out and steal the puck from him, separate him from the puck. Laying a big hit like you see in the NHL is a lot harder than you think.
Okay. Yeah. I roller skated back in the day. That was when I think I was a teen, go to the roller skate, put on the roller skates. But I've never ice skated at all. So I definitely would fall in my face, and I give props to the guys because they're big guys too playing and then I see the hits they put on and the type of concussions I think you would occur from being leveled, getting hit. That's why I never had interest in it, like playing it. I was like, hell no. I do other crazy sports, but not that one. Seems dangerous.
Yeah, but it's no more dangerous than football.
I mean, that's true, but that's why if anything else I wanted to play in the NFL, I saw Jerry Rice and Joe Montana growing up.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be Jerry Rice. I thought I was Jerry Rice. And then I went to a small private school. So there was like 30 people, including me, in my grade. So my competition level that I saw was very small. So in my mind, for years, I thought, oh, I definitely can make it. I get the ball and I score touchdowns all the time. It's no big deal.
Yeah. I'm good at that too.
Then I found out, oh, I go to high school and there's a bunch of more competition. And then I find out that's not even like there's different levels to competition from over here. The type of competition, like as far as like classifications of bigger schools and the levels of where caliber of athletes are coming from. And then you move on to, you know, college, just like there's different types of colleges that have different. And then I realized, I didn't really realize it till I met one friend who made it to the major leagues, baseball.
Yeah.
And then he would go up and down from the farm system to major leagues. And he was running to catch a ball and he shattered his shoulder and his elbow, and it came out and ruptured his spleen and his career was over. But he was, and baseball was a sport, but he, after that, you know, his career was over basically, but he was still an athlete. He still had it. And I would always talk shit thinking anyone I met, I'm like, yeah, I could beat you at basketball. I could do this. So we played and he can shoot threes with his left, with his right. He could dunk. And he's a little bit shorter than like an inch shorter than me. I'm like 6 feet. He's probably like 5'11" and just an athlete at every sport. Just straight athlete. And then I never really went to go see professional athletes when I was younger. So when I finally did, I saw the speed, I'm like, yeah, I definitely don't have that ability to be pro. So I gave up trying to be a wide receiver as well, because I realized I couldn't make it and I didn't want to get hit.
Yeah. 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 That's fair. And that's a choice that you get to make, right?
Yeah. Though, I mean, the I'm sure just like in hockey, the bigger, the better the competition, the heavier the hits are going to come. And man, if Once I seen a guy like that and just messing around, and I could feel the difference in speed and power, you realize, like, yeah, if you're really going to try and step up to anything, you better be rigid or not, especially on a physical sport. Or if not, you're going to get injured. If you think you're going to go into boxing or jiu-jitsu and not take it seriously, or in my opinion, I haven't played hockey, but I would assume the same thing. If you're going to get rocked, if you're just thinking you're cocky and you're not going to defend, take it seriously and train and know what you're doing.
Oh, that's a loser's mentality. If you think you're just going to walk in and dominate, you are absolutely going to get hurt. And that's why we have divisions. We have, you know, divisions all the way down to Div 15, so that, you know, guys that are in that state can go play in Div 15 and learn the game and learn the ropes and start to get that ability without a bunch of guys that can run around and just destroy them, right? Because they're not going to learn if they can't take some baby steps. And then the same thing, when you're that good, if you want to play Div 1, there's no sense in playing Div 15. It'd be way too easy. You're just going to dominate everybody. Like, well, how is that fun, right? You want to have a good competition. You want to have some pushback, some resistance. That's what makes it fun. At least for me, that's what makes it fun.
Of course, to me, having the resistance is what's going to give you the growth. You're not going to get better playing against competition. You know, you're going to dominate. You're going to get better by basically getting your ass beat. It doesn't matter what sport. So far, it's like you got to get dominated and just realize, okay, what are they doing? Go back to that blueprint, that wealth of knowledge. Like, what are you doing? Like, how are you doing it? If they're nice, they'll share to you what they do to stay in that shape, or what mentality, or what grip, or, you know, what technique that they're using. Or you can go out and hire coaches. There's plenty of coaches like yourself, myself, plenty out there. I kind of agree. There's too many. It's almost like the market's flooded, but at the same time, there's not enough good ones to cover the pandemic of what's going on unhealthiness and lack of activity.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's the thing. That's, like you said, that the obesity and diabetes and the heart issues, like, these can all be reversed with diet and exercise. Like, you know, like, or at least give you much, much higher chance to recover from it and get over it and not make it as much of an issue in your life, right? It's just the individuals really have to, maybe we got to promote self-responsibility. You got to understand that, like, what you have as a body in a vehicle is a result of your choices, right? So Christmas food is around. That's great. But you still get to decide how much you put in and what you put in and how much liquor you consume and all these things. These are all choices that we all get to make. So not saying anybody's right or wrong, right? But be accountable to the choices that you make.
Oh, yes. And sometimes, especially like during the, I'm going to do an episode on holiday drinking, because I definitely learned my lesson this past weekend. Yeah, I've been pretty well behaved, but oh man, I'm. Do I have an experience to share? So that one's coming up. Holiday drinking, because, you know, that's something that another thing to tack on, which is, it. Some people tell me I love this time of the year. I do too. It's, you know, the lights and everyone. Not everyone. Some people are trying to come up real quick off you. Watch out for at least robbings, and those will go up. But more people seem to be nicer, especially if you wear Christmas outfits. Everywhere I go, people are like, oh, you love Christmas. Or Christmas. Yeah, they're friendlier. To me, they're friendlier. But also, you have to be careful. You have to be alert, because, you know, that's why I'm huge into self-defense as far as like great exercise, because you're learning how to defend yourself when you're out there Christmas shopping. The in better shape you are, the better chance you have of, I mean, there, people are just prowling, you know. Unfortunately, I don't know how it is in Canada, but over here, you have to be on your toes, especially when you're going out shopping, in my opinion. Don't be distracted by looking at your phone.
Yeah, it's definitely smart, for sure. It's probably not quite as bad up here in Canada. Here, the more the robberies happen from like a parked car. So like, you go, let's say you're doing a lot of shopping, and you go and you put a bunch of presents or shopping in your vehicle, and then you go back in or you go somewhere else. Those are usually the vehicles that get right. robbed.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Like from those to just fraud to take your cards, there's like your information, your credit card, there's just like more fraud in general and robberies as well. Especially, I'm in LA, so for sure robberies as well. Like straight up assaults. It's like the prince of, or yeah, some prince got shot the other day in LA. They took his Rolex and he was in his Rolls Royce and they killed him. I'm like, wow. Yeah. So over here, it's pretty crazy. You hear the rappers getting killed here all the time. That's why I'm like, I'm so blessed to stay out of that. I just, when I was growing up, gang violence was glorified and all the movies were about that. I never was into it. I had a bunch of friends that were gang members, but I just never got into it. And I'm been blessed to keep my nose clean as far as that. So I'm so happy that I found working out as like my release, because there's so many ways that I could have gone as far as drugs, alcohol, you know, being in jail, being dead. So I, every holiday season, it's so easy to get depressed with all the things that go on. But to me, I'm going to focus on, I'm blessed to be here. It's another year to celebrate it with the loved ones that are still around. I know it's tough because through the years, the longer you live, someone's going to die close to a holiday. Maybe you have someone that died on a holiday, Christmas. It could be difficult because it's like you're remembering, but it's still a beautiful holiday to you. And it could be definitely tough, but I always just say, even if you don't feel like it, once you have your workout, you just feel better. And sometimes you got to force yourself to get out there and do it, even when you don't want to. It'll help you with that consistency and developing that discipline during the holiday seasons.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. 100% agree with you.
And I wanted to thank you for being on here. Like I mentioned, I have your Instagram on here, but some people don't watch it. They just listen to it. So if they wanted to reach you and get some information on, do you focus on just the nutrition or do you do other types of plans?
No, I like to, like I said, I'm a fundamental guy. So I like to master the fundamentals, master the fundamentals of nutrition, master the fundamentals of exercise. And I mean, that's really kind of the recipe in life. And then everything else that happens from there is still requires that as a base. So if you don't have your nutrition and your exercise and fitness in line, then there's no point in talking about the other things. Let's get that lined up first. So that's kind of what I like to focus on, is just getting the base and the foundation and the fundamentals set and have those as your habits, build off consistency, and magically, it'll seem like magic down the road, but down the road, all of a sudden it'll seem like magically things fall together, but really it's that consistency that's adding up for you, that's building in your favor.
Great. Like I said, I definitely appreciate you being on here. And for your Instagram is just for the people listening, if they wanted to find you.
Just rich.shankhausen.
And anything else, anyone else you want to shout out before we close it out of here and go make our Christmas wish list?
Yeah, I just want to say one more time to my daughter. I was really proud of her becoming a champion, being part of a really, really special team. And it's the first time in 50 years that of the organization's existence that a Pee Wee team had won the championship, and they won not just the city, but also the provincial championship. So I'm pretty proud of that. And that's what I'm kind of grateful for this Christmas is my daughter's, she's really awesome. And I get to watch her develop and participate in sports, and just kind of gives me a lot of joy inside to witness that.
There's nothing like the being proud of your kids, you know. Since you mentioned her playing, does she play like tackle football or flag football?
Tackle football.
Tackle football. Is it all females?
No, she made the boys team. So there's only two girls that made the boys team, and it was her and one other girl.
Okay. Cause I thought it was an all girls team when you mentioned it. And then you said 50 years. I'm like, there's no way that they've had an all girl football team for 50 years, you know?
Yeah. It was all boys team. And, yeah, there was definitely some really great football players on her team, but, she played her role. She did a great job. And
what was her position?
She's a wide receiver.
Oh, no way. Nice.
Yeah.
And then the other girls on the same team?
Yeah, and she played on defense, and she was a halfback, like a DB, like a nickelback in football.
Oh wow, that's pretty dope. I you know, every once in a while you see those stories on the news over here in the United States, and you're just like, oh, that's cool. I think recently we had the first in California, we had the first girls score touchdowns, because usually they've done kickers. You know, they've been doing kicking here for a few years now, but I didn't get to read how they actually scored. But after that, they seem to have made news again. They broke some other type of record. So there's definitely more girls I see playing football, and more power to them. I'll go play high school football, but that's it. And even then, some of the high school elite teams over here, you know, that a lot of them, they're the ones that are always being recruited to go to the colleges, and then from there they go to the pros. So I don't want to play against those guys.
I don't blame you. They're elite for a reason, right?
Yeah. And even as kids, they're like, oh my God, you're 6'2" and you run this fast, and you're like 235 pounds and you're 16. It's like, you're going to be a monster. Like, once you develop and know your technique, it's like, definitely want you on my high school team.
Well, on my daughter's team, there's two boys, the two biggest boys in the team. They're 12 years old and they're 6'3" already.
Wow.
12. So they're not even teenagers yet, for crying out loud.
Some of those are they get all those good kids and they put them together, and then you have to go try and score a touchdown against them and get hit by them. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I realized I don't have that speed. If I did, I'd be definitely doing it. But yeah, once again, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. It was nice catching up. Everyone, as I mentioned, if you want to hear the first episode, it's called Living to 150. I didn't have time to see what number it was, but it, as I mentioned, it's one of the more popular ones. I think everybody wants to live longer, as long as you could be mobile and active. Otherwise, to me, what's the point of just being bedridden? I don't see that as a life. So everyone, if you want more information, hit up Rich, hit up, I'll put it on the show notes. And this has been Merry Fitness episode day 4 out of 31, a little bit behind. I know it's like the 9th of December. So Christmas is coming. Thank you everybody for joining. Thank you, Rich. Thank you everybody in the audience and watching the stream. You'll see me later today.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Hey, hopefully we can do this again soon.
For sure.
Keep it going.